Can Egypt's leaders be pressured into protecting press freedom? Al Jazeera condemns the 15-year jail sentence given to one of its journalists for interviewing an opposition leader. So, why is Egypt silencing critical voices? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. Al Jazeera is condemning the 15-year jail sentence given in Egypt to one of the network's journalists. A court in Cairo sentenced Ahmed Taha in his absence for what prosecutors called spreading false news. Taha is a presenter for Al Jazeera's Mubashir news channel and says the ruling won't deter him from doing his job. He was charged for interviewing Egyptian opposition leader and former presidential candidate Abdel Munim Abul Futuh 4 years ago. Al Jazeera says the verdict was irrational, unjustified, and part of Egypt's continued campaign against the network and its journalists. The network's demanding the release of four other Al Jazeera journalists detained in Egypt without charge. Ahmed Taha is here with me in the studio. Ahmed, thank you so much for joining us today on Inside Story. We really appreciate it. Let me ask you first, what does this verdict and sentence mean for you as a journalist? What does it mean for the network? And what, in your opinion, does it mean for the overall state of press freedom?
Mohammed, at the beginning, I'd like to thank you for having me. This court ruling represents, means a lot at all levels, as mentioned in your questions. I'm still in a total shock. I woke up in the morning to find myself sentenced to 15 years in prison simply for doing my job as a TV presenter. What I did is had an interview with a public figure in Egypt, one of the leaders of official political party and one of the presidential candidates. It was Abdel Munim Abul Futuh. He was also accused in this false trial and was sentenced similarly. I interviewed him in 2018 to update the viewers on the latest development in the political situation in Egypt. I found myself the subject of a kangaroo trial, sentenced to 15 years without any legal notification, without even having the chance to get represented by a lawyer. Above all, there is no legal procedures measures. The standard legal rules are totally violated. It is a totally kangaroo trial. Court ruling is exceptional route adopted by the political regime in Egypt. It is one of the political tools against freedom of expression and freedom of press. It is a shameful ruling. To me, I believe this ruling is not directed against me. It is directed at Al Jazeera as a media network. It's against the values and principle Al Jazeera represents. It is directed against the freedom of press. Al Jazeera is simply a beacon for knowledge and freedom. That's why I repeat, this ruling is shameful. And when the history of this, the history of press in this region is written, a total chapter will be dedicated to me. A journalist like me being tried under a false trial and sentenced to jail simply for doing his job. It is a shame
and
disgrace.
Ahmed, you just talked about this verdict and this sentence being used as a political tool. Do you or does the network have any legal recourse to try to either appeal or overturn it?
Unfortunately, I contacted a number of lawyers, and they said this court ruling was handed down by an exceptional court panel, and there is no room for us to challenge the judgment, and it is totally a political trial. And I believe the normal standard proceedings of taking recourse are absent in this trial. Yesterday, I was speaking to my fellow colleagues, and I told them it is a clear, crystal clear situation of murdering logic. Again, this is a shameful ruling. It is a clear representation of the ongoing campaign against Al Jazeera and its journalists. We have four of our fellow colleagues who have been detained for more than 3 years, Hisham Abdelaziz, Ahmed Al-Najdi, Bahaeddin Ibrahim, and Rabia Sheikh. They have been detained without any charge pressed against them and without committing any crime. They were detained simply because they are part of Al Jazeera Media Network.
Since you brought them up, I also wanted to ask you about that. The fact that we have four of our colleagues that are still in detention, being held without charge, what do you think that this verdict and sentence means when it comes to their cases?
We had thought that there is a way out, as the regime in Egypt spoke about a possible release of prisoners of conscience, and we had hoped that our four colleagues will be included. However, after this unjust ruling handed down against me, our hope has receded. Now we are certain that all what has been propagated by the Egyptian regime over the past period of time is false. I believe that the regime in Egypt is responsible for the unjust detention of our four colleagues. I repeat, those colleagues did not violate any rules, they did not commit any crime, and Egypt is a signatory to all the international conventions regarding the freedom of press. That's why I call on the Egyptian authorities to release our colleagues immediately without delay. And the shameful ruling handed down against me, not only against me, against the freedom of press in general, should be scrapped.
Ahmed, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today about what's happened to you, what's happening to our four colleagues who are still being held without charge, and to other journalists in Egypt. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mohammed.
Egypt's president launched a national strategy for human rights last September, but rights groups dismissed it as a deceptive attempt to show reforms are happening to the international community. Other Al Jazeera journalists have been targeted and detained in Egypt. Mahmoud Hussein was released last year after a four-year prison sentence. He was arrested in 2016 while visiting relatives in Cairo, but was never formally charged with a crime or put on trial. In 2013, Al Jazeera journalists Bahir Mohammed, Mohammed Fahmy, and Peter Greste were jailed for what Egypt called spreading false news. They were released after a year, but seven colleagues were sentenced to 10 years. In its Press Freedom Index, Reporters Without Borders ranks Egypt at 168 out of 180 countries and says at least 21 journalists remain imprisoned in Egypt. All right, let's bring in our guests. In Washington, D.C., Sharif Mansour, Middle East and North Africa Program Coordinator at the Committee to Protect Journalists. In the U.S. city of Minneapolis, Mohammed Al-Masri, Chair of the Journalism Program at the Doha Institute for Graduate Studies. And in Brussels, Hussein Bayoumi, Egypt and Libya researcher at Amnesty International. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Sharif, let me start with you today. How many journalists are jailed and detained in Egypt, and what kind of message does this 15-year sentence that was given to Ahmed Taha send to journalists there?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I think, according to our most recent count, it's 20 journalists. One of them was order released, while we're still waiting today to see him released. So it will bring the count down from 25 in December, which is a good sign. It means that at least the repression machine is slowing down. We're seeing more releases than arrests since last year. But it doesn't mean that the repression machine was dismantled or that there will be any legislative or executive action to limit the Egyptian government's ability to imprison journalists in the short term. We think there are improvements in terms of the numbers, but Egypt's still the third worst jailer of journalists today. And that has been the case for at least 8 years under President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. So we need to see a lot more if we think that the verdict we saw today is something that, as an exception, actually it is the norm still in Egypt, where we see the worst condition for press freedom in Egypt's modern history.
Hussein, Egypt's President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi launched a national strategy for human rights. This was done last September, but rights groups have basically dismissed this as a deceptive attempt to show that reforms are happening to the international community. The fact that Ahmed Taha was sentenced in absentia months after this national strategy for human rights was announced, what does this say to you? What does that mean?
From our point of view, we are seeing that the Egyptian authorities continue to arbitrarily arrest opponents and critics, including journalists. Since April, at least three journalists were arrested. The verdict against Ahmed is a clear example that the Egyptian authorities have no intention of easing pressure. Instead, they are shifting to different strategies where we are seeing the release of some well-known detainees, avoiding high-profile arrests, and instead focusing more and more on people that the government can label as pro-Muslim Brotherhood or in some way connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. But overall, we're not seeing improvement in terms of the enjoyment of rights, including freedom of expression or assembly or press freedom in the country.
Mohammed, is there anything that could be done by any international actors that would make Egypt mitigate its treatment of journalists and activists and dissidents? I guess what I'm asking is, can Egypt's leaders be pressured into protecting press freedom?
Well, international activists, researchers, scholars have been calling on the international community really since 2013 to put pressure on the Egyptian regime. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of reluctance. There's been a lack of willingness on the part of key international actors to do anything substantial. To answer your question, I do think it is possible. I mean, the United States could speak volumes if they actually withheld aid from Egypt, for instance. That's just one example. But the United States government hasn't really hasn't shown any serious willingness to do much other than, you know, sort of pay lip service to you know, concepts associated with human rights and freedom and democracy and so on and so forth, and issuing the occasional you know, slap on the wrist to the Sisi regime. But you know, the regime is concerned about its international image. They're concerned about pressure that could be applied. They've tried to put on this facade of you know, democratic reform, largely because they are concerned. But as I said, to date, there just hasn't been anything meaningful that has been done by any international actor.
Sharif, Mohammed there was talking about the aid that the U.S. gives to Egypt and how perhaps that could be leveraged into getting Egypt to act differently when it comes to dissident voices, critical voices, journalists. I want to ask you specifically about that relationship. The U.S. gives Egypt $1.3 billion in military aid annually. The U.S. Congress put human rights-related conditions on $300 million of that $1.3 billion. In January, the Biden administration announced that it had canceled $130 million of that $300 million in military aid to Egypt because of human rights concerns. The State Department said that Egypt had not met the conditions to receive that aid. But in the grand scheme of things, if you're talking about $130 million out of what is essentially $1.3 billion per year, is that an amount that would compel Egyptian President Sisi to actually do anything to improve the human rights situation in Egypt?
Absolutely. It's one factor, I think, that goes into the relationship that defines much of what President Sisi wants. And I think there are other factors put together that can improve at least the situation. And I think one of them is meeting here in Washington, D.C., President El-Sisi have not had an Oval Office meeting for a year and a half. And that's also a big factor in the upcoming trip with President Biden going into the region and trying to extract as much concessions across the region in his planned agenda. So these are two factors in the aid conditionality. I think there is a lot more improvement in terms of how Congress is able to exert pressure that has to do with something the administration have also said, which is protecting dissidents abroad, including U.S. citizens. And that's, I think, one thing we can see in the aid conditionality. There are a lot more specificity about it, and also with talks of public officials from the Biden administration. And that's, I think, what the main idea about behind the sentencing is, that the exiled voices, those have people have been able to basically shut down any conversation inside Egypt borders. So the remaining voices outside become more critical, including Al Jazeera regionally, but also internationally out of the U.S. here. So I think, yes, it matters to President Sisi having that meeting. It also matters to him what he saw recently with, for the first time, the U.S. Justice Department indicting a spy for the Egyptian intelligence here that they wanted to spy on dissidents out of New York. And that was something, I think, that sent a lot more messages about possibility of other impunitive measures like sanctions under Magnitsky sanctions or sanctions under Khashoggi bans that we've seen this administration introduce. Mm.
Hussein, of course, we've seen the statement from Amnesty International condemning this verdict and other verdicts as well and sentences. If we could just take a step back for a moment, zoom out for a bit. Why is Egypt silencing critical voices?
Well, the Egyptian authorities are silencing critical voices because they don't believe or they don't want to see voices that oppose the government. It's that simple. From the point of view of security forces, but right now is that what led to the fall of Mubarak governments, Mubarak regime, was the limited space of freedoms that he gave. So the concern is, from a security agency's point of view right now, is that any criticism can very easily snowball into major street protests that in turn would endanger the stability of the regime or government, depending on whom you ask, of course. But the, essentially the issue is that in order to prevent any sort of effective opposition, security forces have been silencing all the critical voices. And you see that, for example, in targeting not just major political opponents, but really going after individuals over Facebook posts, going after lawyers, for example, which is also a sign that the Egyptian authorities want to further prevent lawyers and prevent others from reporting in violations that are happening in the country. So most recently, we saw the arrest of Yusuf Mansour, lawyer in his 20s, simply because he posted on his social media page about a detainee. And now he's detained pending investigation over terrorism charges. So in short, the government really doesn't, or security agencies in particular, see any sort of criticism as a first step towards anti-government mobilization.
Mohammed, I want to talk more specifically for a moment about the sentence that was given to Ahmed Taha. This is a 15-year jail sentence that was given in absentia for spreading false news over a 2018 interview with Abdel Munim Abulfattouh. He's a leading opposition figure and former presidential candidate in Egypt. Abulfattouh himself was sentenced to 15 years in jail this week over accusations of plotting against the state. Even in a country where the jailing and sentencing of journalists and dissidents has become quite common, does this action, this sentencing of Ahmed Taha to 15 years in jail for this interview, does that not seem excessive?
Well, I mean, what doesn't seem excessive? You know, Sisi came to power in 2013 on the back of a military coup. The violence that was carried out at the time was excessive. There were five large-scale massacres of civilians carried out in the summer of 2013. The regime went on to eliminate all forms of political opposition. They arrested tens of thousands of people, including political leaders. They banned all of the key opposition parties. They shut down all of the key opposition news outlets. So, you know, what in that wasn't excessive? So, you know, this is an extreme authoritarian regime. So while it's shocking to us that a journalist could be, sentenced to 15 years in jail for quote unquote false news, spreading false news just for asking some questions in an interview, really it's entirely consistent with the Sisi regime's modus operandi. And I just wanted to piggyback on what Mr. Bayoumi was saying on the previous question, you know, in terms of, you know, why the regime acts out the way that it does. This is a very scared, very paranoid regime. In addition to the things that I just mentioned about eliminationism, you know, we have to remember that Sisi is deeply insecure. A few people tried to, put their names in the hat and run against him in the presidential election a few years ago, and he arrested them or otherwise eliminated them. So that just underscored the extent to which he's insecure. And that's one of the reasons why Egypt does not tolerate any sign of dissent whatsoever. I thought Philip Luther, Amnesty's Middle East and North Africa director, said it best a couple of years ago when he said, "The Egyptian authorities have made it very clear that anyone who challenges the official narrative will be severely punished." And if there's an opportunity, I think we should talk at some point today about Nabila Makram, who is the immigration minister who threatened Egyptians abroad with death a few years back in a speech in Canada, saying that any Egyptian who speaks against the state, who criticizes the government, could be killed, could be sliced up, in her words.
Sharif, what legal justification is there for Egyptian courts to dole out these kinds of verdicts and sentences? What is the rationale that they are going by? And also, from your point of view, is there any space that currently exists in Egypt for opposition or for dissent or for critical voices?
Well, not at all. I think what we saw is the same promises that el-Sisi had given over and over and never delivered on. We might see some gestures just to allow some of those things to happen this year, including while they host the International Environment Conference in Sharm el-Sheikh in September. Of course, it's an opportunity for the government to try and gain some support as it tackles its economic challenges and immediate threats. So, of course, there is an opening, an opportunity that can materialize, but those are legal battles that no one has control of because they are happening in emergency courts. Those who have issued even death penalty against some Al Jazeera journalists in the past, and some who continue to be jailed today in pretrial detention without recourse, without evidence, some for 4 years or more. So, yes, there isn't any legal ability to find justice within Egypt's border. And that's why many people are demanding justice to happen in a political price or even in U.S. courts or European parliament courts, not just in Congress and in other ways. So, yes, we want to see a lot more focus on the right of dissidents abroad, but also shed light on people who do not get even the attention that Al Jazeera journalists have. There are four more Al Jazeera journalists who are in prison in Egypt today, but there are so many who do not even have any affiliation with an outlet, let alone a regional or an international one.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thank you so much to all of our guests, Sharif Mansour, Mohammed Al-Masri, and Hussein Bayoumi. And thanks to Ahmed Taha. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here, bye for now.